Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The name Israel means wrestles with God, and that's what Jacob did, literally and figuratively. He wrestled with God, and God renamed him. That is why you will hear him referred to as Israel. No longer is his name Jacob, that is, supplanter or deceiver, but his name is Wrestles with God. The people called by that name continued to do so. At times they would give their full submission to him, and he would bless them. At other times they would wrestle against him, and he would curse them, but always with the intention to bring them back in. Prayer, at times, is a wrestling with God. The importance of prayer is very evident. God commands it, and he promises to hear our prayers. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please God." That is the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian is not my own sinful desires. The life of the Christian is to walk as God has placed before me. It is to walk the narrow road. At times, it is a difficult road because the world will mock you for walking it. But do not care so much about what the world has to say. Do not care so much about what the devil and his demons have to say. Care more about what God has to say. God has called you out of the darkness of this world. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It lightens the path so that I may know where God desires me to be. To trespass is to go where God has not given me to be. And so he calls us to walk, to please not our sinful desires, to please not the world, but to walk in him. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. The world wants you to gratify every sinful desire of your flesh. But God would have you train your bodies to receive that which is necessary for your souls. If God declares something to be sexually immoral, if God declares something to be perverse, it does not matter what the world has to say. We are not to submit to the world, we submit to God. This is a season of fasting, of prayer, and of almsgiving. Fasting causes the body to submit to the needs of the soul. It is part of our earthly training. We do not fast to gain salvation. Rather, we fast so that we might more clearly hear the word of God. That sanctification occurs in us. That is the path of being made holy. No, we do not give. We do not pray in order to be saved. We do these things because we are saved. And God has given us so many blessings. The will of God is that we would be holy, just as the Father is holy. This is his will. Yes, the world will mock it. Yes, the world will try to judge it. But at the end, the world will be cast down. The world will be consumed in a refining fire. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And if you are found in that word, if your name is written in the book of life, then you will spend all of eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, where moth and rust cannot destroy. where sin will never have a grasp on anything of us again, where death and disease will be a bygone thing never to occur again, where we will be in perfect communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So crucify your sinful desires, your passions of lust. The Gentiles, the heathens, the nations do not do that. Rather, they gratify their flesh. But they will be cast into eternal hellfire. Do not defraud your brother. The church used to have a pretty staunch teaching against something that we call usury, that is actually charging interest. The church used to declare that charging usury, charging interest, was sinful and it was wrong, especially when you used it against the poor. My, how times have changed. But the question should be, did God's word change? That should always be the question you ask when something changes, especially in the 20th century. Did God's word change on this? And the answer, of course, is no. So we see credit card bills coming in with 29% interest. We see loan sharks setting up shop in the inner cities where people are poor and charging exorbitant interest. And the church says nothing. Of course, the church says nothing because the church has also relied on interest. Walther tried very vehemently to once again bring this back. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Missouri Synod, he tried very hard to bring back Luther's teachings on this because he was convicted that the Word of God has something to say. It didn't bode so well for him. But I would have us at least consider these things when borrowing with one another. There is a difference between charging just what is necessary for inflation, so that you do not necessarily lose money in the deal. But if we charge an exorbitant amount of interest, especially against those that we know cannot pay it back, so that when they default, we can take even more, this is not full trust in God. So we turn instead to trusting in Him. We do not seek after the wealth or any last penny that our neighbor has, especially as a Christian brother or sister. But rather, we submit to trusting in God's will. We do not defraud our brother, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, Paul said. God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. When God sets marriage as a lifelong union between a man and a woman, does God's word change? The answer is, of course, it has not. God is the one that defines it. And no matter what our flesh seeks after, we need to submit our flesh to God. The man who is stuck in fornication, the woman who bats an adulterous eye at a man who is not her husband, these are not to be named among you. These are not the way that Christians live. God has called you and set you apart to be holy. Living together outside of the bonds of marriage, taking that marriage bed that God has not given, these are not what God desires for you. God would bless your unions. God is the one that grants the marriage bed to begin with. He says this is a good and beautiful thing, for from it comes life. And I would have my people have life and have it abundantly. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, there is salvation found in the cross of Jesus Christ. But God also gives us a path and calls us to live it. The one who rejects this call to cleanness, this call to holiness, ultimately rejects God, because it is the Holy Spirit that has carried these words to us. So, dear Christian, dear child of God, I know the world tells you the opposite of what the Bible teaches. But the world is not your judge. The world is not your God. The world cannot save you. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ do that. And so he has set you apart. He has called you by name. And he promises to hear you. We are not worthy to have the King of all creation hear our prayers. Our sins are so great, so numerous, that none of us is worthy to have him hear us. And yet he promises to do just that. So at times we pray. We pray for the same thing over and over and over again. And the devil has us believe that God doesn't hear. But you have our gospel lesson to see that he absolutely does. You have a woman whose daughter is demon-possessed. Last week we talked about the fact that these first three Sundays in Lent are going to show us very clearly spiritual warfare. That the devil is very real. That demons are real. That oppression and possession are real. But so are the angels. So is the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So is the armor that he would have us put on. And so is the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God. That God is infinitely bigger and stronger than the devil, and he tramples him under his feet. But this woman of Canaan, this woman who likely worshipped false gods, who likely did not know and follow the word of God, this woman's daughter is now caught in the clutches of a demon. And we see throughout the scriptures the work of demons. At times it appears like epilepsy. At times it appears as multiple personalities disorder. At times it causes them to have great strength to the point where they can break shackles, where men cannot constrain them, where seven men cannot contain one man. It causes them to try to harm themselves and to tear them apart from the faith in Jesus Christ. This woman likely had tried all the medical expertise available to her at that time, and yet the devil's hold on her child was still great. And so she prays. She had heard of this Jesus, the one who could heal, the one who could exorcise demons, the one who even would conquer death. And she comes before him. And she cries out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Kyrie eleison. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Son of David, the Messiah, the one who has come. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." So many children do live in the lies of the devil, the lies of the world. And while it may not be demon possession outright, it is oppression. It is the world that works through their ears, through their eyes. The videos that they watch on YouTube, the Snapchat, whatever they're called, I'm 41 now. Whatever you get when it's called a Snapchat, that thing, whatever that is, that I know that goes away. That's all about all I know. But that they look at these things and they turn to them. They find their joy in these things. They find their joy in the world. As opposed to gathering here in the house of the Lord. The very house where God has promised to be. The very house where God promises to give us the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins. The world would have them seek after their peers. And the devil would have you parents believe that your children won't listen to you at all anymore. But this is not the way it is meant to be. No, your children do hear, even if they don't always follow. Teach it to them anyway. For when they are older, may they return to the good teachings that you laid out for them. But whatever it happened to cause this woman, her daughter, to be demon-possessed, she acknowledges that Jesus is her hope. And so she comes and she lays her petitions down before him. Kyrie eleison, my daughter is possessed. And Jesus doesn't answer her a word. Like I said, sometimes it feels like that when we pray. I lay my petition before God, and it's like he doesn't hear, he doesn't answer, and the devil makes me believe that maybe my sins are too great. Maybe I've messed up too bad, and God won't hear my prayers anymore. But that's exactly what it is, a lie of the devil. This is not true. For as the father that receives his prodigal son back with joy, so your father receives you. But he doesn't answer. And so his disciples come and they say, Lord, send her away. She is crying out after us. She's causing a scene. Put her away. Tell her to leave us alone. So he answers. And he says, I was not sent for you. I was sent for the lost of Israel. Jesus, what are you doing? This isn't you. This isn't how you act. But there's a purpose. She comes and she worships him. That is, now she lays prostrate before him. She bows herself to the ground. She says, help me. You are my help. You are my deliverer. Lord, help me. He answers again and he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now he is referred to her as a dog. She is not a child, she is a dog. She acknowledges this. She acknowledges, just like we do, that we are not worthy to have the Father hear our prayers. And yet she cries out anyway. Lord, I am a dog. I am a worm and not a man. I am unworthy to have you even come under my roof. And yet I will receive the scraps that you have to give. Because I know that even the scraps, even the crumbs that fall from the master's table are enough for me. That I will receive your forgiveness. That I will be blessed by receiving you. Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, I will continue to come before you. I will pray to you even when it seems like you aren't hearing. Even when it seems like you're not answering, I will continuously cry out to your name. In St. Luke's recording of the Lord giving of the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, right afterward we see these words. Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask it. You wouldn't think of handing a poisonous or a venomous snake to your child when he asks for a morsel of bread. And your Father, our Father, is far greater than any of us are. Persistent. Be persistent in it. Cry out to him over and over and over again. And trust. Yes, we of ourselves are not worthy, but the Lord Jesus Christ has washed us. So that the Father no longer looks at our sins, but looks at his righteousness. He sees your cloak, and he says, "You are my son. I will hear your prayer, and I will give you everything that is necessary for you. May my will be done in your life. Look to the cross of Jesus. Trust me and live." The church sings, "So we with all our hearts each day to you our glad thanksgiving pay, then walk obedient to your word, and now and ever praise you, Lord. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.